Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
You're welcome in this place, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Mourinho is mugged off at the bridge. Cardiff beat Fulham. And there was a big win in League Two. Away we go! Good to see you. Good to have you with us.
Very glad to be here. Very glad to be with you.
Yes, yeah. You guys and the listeners, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much in motion now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of it.
Bloody hell, Jim, you had a bad weekend. It's just in motion now. Yeah. That's what Jose Mourinho was running on, wasn't he?
He was running on pure emotion and then fumes at the end.
Yeah, fueled by fumes.
It's a great, I mean,
and hatred.
Let's all agree it was a brilliant way to start the footballing weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all thought that it was going to fizzle out into one of those games that's bloody all about the sport.
Yeah.
Which is the last thing we want. The last with this particular thread of narrative.
For this.
Yeah.
Has anyone checked on Phil Neville? Because I watched this a bit later on the US feed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I forget who the commentator was, but the co-commentator was Phil Neville.
In my head, it's always Ian Dark.
Could have been. Yeah. And I don't think it was Ian Dark. It might have been Arlo White.
Okay.
But Phil Neville was certainly on co-com.
Yes.
And we've all seen his comments afterwards, which I'm sure we'll come on to shortly. But
whispering Phil.
Yeah, whispering Phil.
Although, just to butt in for a second there, horrific comments directed at him on Twitter, we should say.
So. Well, that, I didn't see
yeah.
that.
Oh, horrendous stuff.
I haven't seen that. Well, we don't endorse that.
Certainly not, but back to the commentary.
We do endorse him as someone, I forget who it was, said, co-commentating like he's in a cupboard and doesn't want to be discovered. Mm. Where he's like, I can't believe he's done that. He's done it like that.
Yeah.
He was absolutely beside himself by Marco Ianni's behaviour, celebrating in front of Mourinho, a man, of course, who would never be caught doing that in the past. Mm. And then and sometimes you feel like with someone like Phil Neville, okay, well, he's got carried away with the emotion of it. He obviously likes Man United. He's getting involved in the game and all that other stuff. It'll probably calm down.
Mm.
Monday morning, Sky Sports.
Still there.
Wants him sacked.
Literally over the weekend. Can't sleep. No. The sleep deprivation is making the anger worse.
I've had a week of sleep.
This is why they call me Fizzer.
But it's funny. Fizzing all over the gaff.
But the thing is with old Fizzer, is he comes across quite a calm and like happy-go-lucky kind of chap.
A lot of the ex-Man United players have that, though, don't they? They seem very sort of calm and measured until you get onto Man United and they can't handle the state that they're in.
Yeah,
so they just say these mad things.
I tell you what, though, did you see the pre-match on Sky Sports? Jamie Redknapp and Graeme Souness were asked about Paul Pogba. And to be fair to Redknapp, he sort of, you know, Souness obviously put down a marker. As he was doing his, in any stage of any career of his.
In a way, it's sort of like as close to punditry gets as having a reducer, isn't it?
It is. And then Jamie Redknapp, to be fair to him, just said, well, we're always going on about Paul Pogba. I think let's get off that and talk about something else. As soon as I was like, oh, no.
No way.
Oh, my son. As you're not getting away like that.
No, you booked me. You're going to get me.
It's in my contract. Yeah. Read it.
Yeah.
When the co-coms happened with when Phil Neville did the co-coms on the Ross Barkley equaliser and the celebration, let's just say it was Arlo White, I don't know who it was, but Arlo White was going, oh, a dramatic equaliser at the bridge, Ross Barkley this and that, 96th minute, blah, blah, and it just gives a couple of seconds and it just heard Phil Neville go, absolute disgrace. No class, no humility.
What I found funny about the celebration from Ianni was the first little fist pump in Mourinho's face, Mourinho didn't see.
No.
So when you kind of see
I'll just chuck that one out there. See what the land is.
Because obviously when he went back to the dugout, that's when it flared up.
Yeah.
But there was an initial run where he actually more purposely like celebrated in his face, but Mourinho was obviously just watching the thing. So one could think, oh, he didn't react the first time, but then there was the second time, but he just didn't see it, you know. Then Mourinho...
I love a member of the backroom staff, a coach, getting his moment in the sun. Because, let's be fair, you know, it wasn't... Jim and I were talking about this earlier, and Mourinho's got his own history with celebrations. When he was a bit more of a younger man, he would be up and down the touchline, sliding on his knees, all sorts. And we know that, and he knows that.
Well, sliding on your knees is fine, but if he stays in his own technical area, this guy is fist-pumping in Mourinho's face.
Isn't it? It's right at
Mourinho
him.
Went down the touchline at Old Trafford once. To the almost to the corner flag.
And also but put his finger into a man's eye.
Yeah. Come on. Not having that one. But Jim and I were saying, well, it sounds like you might disagree then, Marcus. Jim and I were saying earlier...
No, I think eye gouging's bad.
No, no. The Marco Ianni,
it
wasn't like he was right up in Mourinho's face.
That's the odd thing is the first one, if you watch it, he was. But Mourinho didn't pick up on it.
Right.
And then it's when he ran back. See, the camera, when he runs back, doesn't really reveal the full extent. But clearly Mourinho has been incensed by that.
But you know what, though? I mean... Because Luke and I were sort of broadly in agreement that it isn't actually that bad. It's not the sort of levels of disgrace that obviously Phil Neville's spitting about. But
it's just
again,
a celebration. You don't have to react to it.
Mourinho's reaction is a bit over the top. But again, to be fair to Mourinho, he's like, he's done and dusted.
We're talking about this and not the game.
No, we're having a laugh about this.
Mourinho's already on a charge as well, don't forget.
Yeah.
So he's got to try and diet down as much as he can. Well, he spent most of the press conference on Friday refusing to answer questions because he said he didn't want to influence the panel either way about stuff.
He obviously checked in late with that charge because he was at the bridge, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He asked for an extension to the hearing and was given one.
Yeah.
Right. But we'll come on talk about Man United in a minute, of course. But on the first goal scored by Rudiger, the header, he goes and celebrates with the fans behind the goal. Did any of you guys notice that that one of the fans celebrating with him looked? I think to the point where I think it might have even been
the fella.
The guy, the Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
I didn't see him there, but he's. I've I've seen photos of him at the ground sent around. Really? I presume he's a season ticket holder.
Remind us of the work that this guy previously did.
I wonder if I can find it. Is it this one?
Is it not correctly labelled?
It might be this one. It might be this one.
Let's have a go. Here we are. Just to jog your memories, ladies and gentlemen. This guy.
Ball's coming in the box.
Oh, God. You know what I mean. Jose Mourinho, the one who stole the show. Yeah. That guy, I'm not going to go as far as to say I'm 75% sure, but I think I'm
51.8.
50-50. I think we should have a people's vote on it because I think it might have been him. Mm. And that is to me, that was a fantastic start to the game.
Oh, if that was it. The problem is with all this Marco or Marigliani staff and blah, 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 he overshadows the fact that Mike Dean was in charge of this game.
Yeah, he was.
And didn't he host it well? No-look yellow card.
There was a no-look yellow card from Deeney. That's glorious stuff. Yeah. Come on.
It's what he thinks to himself. On Saturday, I'm kicking off the big football match, big football weekend.
Yep.
It's on telly. Mm-hmm. I'm dishing up the no-look yellow. Absolutely. Because his power moves are the no-look yellow, the celebration of a goal after he's played a good advantage.
The wave play on.
With
a wide base.
And also the pure level of the turning down of a penalty shout.
Oh, yeah.
He basically does this.
No. Yeah. Arms out.
Like that.
Bang.
Yeah. And it's the look of disgust on his face that someone would expect a penalty for such a thing. Like they don't understand the very game that they're a professional at.
Yeah, come on. You know better than that. Come on. Like that.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's like, oh, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I've got the laws of this game tattooed on my body. Yes. You are not in my league.
Well, talking of tattoos, Ross Barkley. It was a thing in the paper recently that he's had all his tattoos, or most of them, on his arm. Removed.
Has he really?
He had a sleeve tattoo, you know,
right,
one of those ones that the kids have.
Yeah.
And he had a date of his debut that he made for Everton on his arm. And they're not there. He's had them removed. Apparently, he's quite embarrassing. In previous interviews and stuff, he would wear those
long sleeves.
Those sort of Under Armour things.
I'm not going to mention any names, but a couple of Italian players need to wear those for slightly more political reasons.
I thought you were going to talk about Pete Donaldson.
Won't mention any names. Yeah. What do you make of it? So United obviously go home, go down a goal early against Chelsea, and then all the talk that's around United of where Mourinho, how long is he going to be there? How long is he not going to be there? In some cases, he's in open warfare with individual players. For them to come back at a really difficult place where Mourinho's record since he left Chelsea isn't fantastic, with a player who has been at loggerheads with him, Martial, scoring a couple of goals, the first of which was absolutely sublime. Mm. The first touch was amazing. Yeah. Surely that's a sign of great credit for Mourinho's method.
Well, is it though? Because I mean,
on Thursday I said I can see Manchester United doing something here and it prolonging this whole Mourinho. Oh, is he performing? Is he not? Are they playing for him? Are they not? And we go into this phase of, you know, two steps forward, two steps back, Jim. And I think that's
what happened.
What happened?
I think you're right. I agree with that. It's exactly what happened.
It appears though that nobody is viewing that as two drop points. Everyone seems to be still thinking that's a really good result. But in the circumstances of the game, they should have been closing that out, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unlucky. You know, there's a lot of injury time. I mean, David Luiz winning that header, nobody saw that coming. Not that he's bad in the air, as in the way he leapt. It was quite a magnificent effort from him, and then it bounces around and scores. But I think that it's an even funnier time, really, because a few weeks ago, you think to yourself, okay, Mourinho is probably on his way out, and I think almost like the players and the fans can start preparing in a sense. All right, he's going to go. Who's going to come in? And you have that kind of thing now after that reaction against Newcastle, and that result or that performance, as you say, battling back, and some of the players looking like they're wanting to perform. Mm. We go into this funny phase, and that funny phase can last for a number of months, and. You've still got some of the problems that are there, but you're not really fully releasing the players into under new stewardship. And I'd love to know what Man United fans or what certain players think about that, because we saw that at Chelsea when it all went wrong and it was going badly and they lost at home to Palace and Pardew's Palace, lest we forget, and one or two others. And then they would do okay. And then there was a bit of a flicker of hope. And part of me almost, if I was a Man United fan, and I'm not, by the way, it would almost be, I'd want the results to be bad. He goes, then you can start afresh.
Yeah.
Well,
they've,
what I mean?
They've got. Well, yeah, I do see exactly what you mean, and they've got two important games coming up in the Champions League against Juventus, a double header. They play them at home this week, and then
That's the last thing you want. Following, yeah, they come to tell.
In between that, they play Everton and Bournemouth in the league. So I just thought the way they battled did show a lot of sort of, I don't know if it's faith in the manager, but at least a willingness to apply themselves, basically. And, and especially as Paul Pogba did that thing where he gets caught in possession again and then they end up scoring a goal and then he sort of battles back himself and has his own sort of little personal football narrative within the game, which he seems to do every single 90 minutes.
God, that, his frustration at the first Chelsea goal, Rudiger's goal, he did a little dance, like a little anger dance afterwards that went on and on.
He was supposed
to
be marking him, was he? Not?
Yeah, well, I mean, he sort of was, wasn't he? Just wasn't doing it particularly well.
No, he was in the same postcode as him. That's about it.
Yeah, what about Chelsea? I mean, you know, bearing in mind that it was a 96th minute equaliser, so they'll be pleased with that. I wonder, can Chelsea have a title challenge without goals coming from their main forwards? Obviously, they only play with one forward, Morata or Giroud, and I understand that Giroud provides a lot of assist, and you know they're two decent forwards, but can they really sustain this title?
Well, Hazard is like an ersatz forward, though, isn't he?
He is, but if you look at the other sides, I mean, Liverpool have got goals in that front three, and it was good to see Salah scoring again, and Man City, I mean, again, goals everywhere, and Sergio Aguero is always going to chip in, and when Jesus plays, he's in among them as well. I mean, you know, Spurs have got Kane, Arsenal's forwards Lacazette and now Aubameyang are scoring.
Yeah.
With Chelsea, I understand that Hazard is there, but I mean, could they win the title with?
Well, they scored quite a lot of goals. I mean, Sarri's Napoli scored quite a lot of goals last season.
And he gets goals out of strikers. Yeah, Higuain.
They scored, I think, Sarri's Napoli last season, I think it scored 77 goals in Serie A.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be shared around people like Callahan, the senior, and one or two others. But
on Mertens,
yeah. And, but the point is that he had a team and a formation that did produce goals. Now this season, I mean, how many goals have Chelsea scored? I mean, they're doing pretty well. They've got, I think they've scored 20 goals. I think it's only Man City that scored more than them.
Sure.
So
it's
an age-old argument about whether it's better to share the goals around or whether it's better to have a good two or three strikers who are really firing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I don't think it necessarily matters. I think Chelsea will come away from that thinking, great, we've got a point like that. We still haven't lost a game. The momentum continues and they can get on with it in that fashion. But I sort of agree with Jim, though. I think that United should have closed that game out and they didn't do that. And Mourinho's reaction was probably a testament to that as well, because the treatment he got from the Chelsea fans after the game, which is a little bit interesting, actually.
When he was holding up three.
And they were singing fuck off Mourinho, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sarri himself has actually come out and said, look, you need to respect him more when he comes back. And it's a funny one, that, isn't it? I appreciate, you know, if he's there sort of getting up in the faces of your current coaching staff, that's going to be a frustrating thing. No one's going to be happy about that in the ground. But like, yeah, it is a strangely, I don't know, strangely short memory going on there.
He's reacting to
it. Given that he didn't actually, he was fired both times, wasn't he?
The second time in particular, it was really toxic, wasn't it?
But it's not as though he sort of left him in the lurch or anything like that, is it?
Not really. I mean, modern Chelsea really are, we're crafted by him.
All he can
ask
for is to be treated by Chelsea fans the way Rafa Benitez was treated. and that's the minimum you can expect. Mm. And then you know, everyone will be happy.
Right? Everyone will be very
happy. It was a good game. It was a good way to start off the weekend, wasn't it?
Excellent start to the weekend. Cardiff City had a marvellous weekend as well.
Did they
rumours that they played the Jurassic Park theme tune after they beat Fulham?
We got a lot of tweets about that.
Yes.
And I'm all for it. I didn't actually hear it myself. I didn't hear it. I presume so, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, the more triumphant version would have been that.
Yeah, I assume it was
when you win, you want a bit of that, don't you?
Yeah, if you're lost and you're sitting around going, life's rubbish.
I think you want that at the start.
Oh, do you think?
Because it builds, doesn't it? It's really rousing.
Speaking of dramatic starts to games, I completely forgot to mention this to you guys to the point now where I've forgotten the detail, but bear with me. I think it might have been for the Nations League. Have you seen that not only is the football on a plinth now, it's on like an air suspended plinth.
Oh, Gordon.
So it's like floating.
Wow.
The football is floating on the plinth.
That's the completion of this concept. Surely you can't improve on that.
3 or 4 years ago, we'd have done an hour on that. Yeah. On the round.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
That would have been a special.
Let's tear up this running order now. I'm going to rip my laptop in half.
I'd like to see the Premier League do that.
I love it. But, Cardiff City fans were like, hang on, we're about to get a mention for a win. No, we're talking about plinths, balls floating in the air.
Well, what I do want to talk about is this idea that Fulham have absolutely no game management whatsoever.
No.
And are still, for me, and I said this a few weeks ago, I said Fulham are the worst team in the Premier League without the ball. And people say, what about Cardiff? What about Cardiff? Well, now you've seen. Cardiff beat them, you know, not easily, but fairly handily.
Yeah.
And Fulham need very, very quickly to adjust. They went a goal up away from home early against one of the worst teams in the division. Do not tell me that a Premier League manager has not got a plan for that. Right, Cardiff concede goals. They're not that good. They probably beat them last season, Marcus. I can't remember. They probably beat them in the Championship at one point.
Well, they, I mean, they finished above Fulham in the league.
Right,
yeah.
True, right. So you say, if we do go a goal ahead, this is what we're going to do. But nothing changes. Like, what happens? This is really annoying to me. I'm not even a Fulham fan, but it annoys me because it's so basic. 5 minutes after Fulham score, Cardiff get the ball on the left,
waves
in acres
attack.
Of space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Callum Chambers, who's supposed to be playing right back, is nowhere to be seen. Mm. We saw it a week or two before against Arsenal with Cyrus Christie. Nowhere near his right position when they haven't got the ball. I thought Chambers was as bad as Ream. And you singled out Ream and said you thought he had a poor day at the office.
But... I mean, it's harsh to single him out. I think Jukanovic, you know, Fulham played such good football last season in the Championship and flew up the league.
They've got to forget that now.
Well, of course they do, but I don't think he has, because Fulham nearly pipped Cardiff to second. They had a chance, I think, was it the last day or the second to last day, and they fluffed it. But they went through in the playoff. And Fulham, you know, when they hosted Wolves at Craven Cottage, I think Fulham won 2-0. And Wolves, of course, were the best team in the division and are showing how good they are now in the Premier League. And Fulham played them off the park at Craven Cottage and, as I say, won 2-0. And I think Jukanovic, I think he was so confident in what Fulham would do and added some quality. And Schürrle is a good signing, and there's some other ones
World
in there.
Cup winner.
Yeah. Seri, of course, and, you know, Mawson at the back.
Do you think they signed too many?
I don't know if it's a case of signing too many. I just think Jukanovic needs to wise up, because otherwise, and there's a little bit of paper talk, I think, in one of the national newspapers, that he's only got a few games now to save his job.
It'd be a real shame.
And it would be a huge shame. It would be a massive shame, because he brought that club up and he played wonderful football and he got real excitement down at Craven Cottage with what he's done there. And he's not adapting. He's thinking to himself, right, we dominated games. We'll add a few more. We'll just do what we do. And I think it was Tony Mowbray, actually, with West Brom. I think they tried to do this. Forgive me if that's wrong. I think it was Mowbray at West Brom. And they played some quite nice stuff. And he didn't adapt when he got to the Premier League. And people admired what he was trying to do. And they just went straight back down.
Yeah.
And if you want to stay in the division, you're going to have to change a little bit, and he's going to have to really look at this. And I think with the back line, it's a clear problem. I mean, it would be nice to have Tom Kearney back in the side through injury, but I mean, it's not going to make a huge difference. It might do, but going forward, Fulham do look okay, but at the back they are all over the place. And Tim Ream, you know, he had a great season last year, and you know, with, as everybody did, but looks a little bit out of his depth. Dennis Adore, you've got players, the Championship players, who've got to adapt. You've got Le Marchand, I think, who's coming from the French league.
The left back, yeah.
He needs to adapt to the league.
He's looked all right in places. I've been to Fulham this season. He's looked okay.
He's looked okay, but he's still got to adapt to a different country and all the rest of it. Timothy Fosu-Mensah is injured at the moment. Callum Chambers is got injured. Mawson seems to not know what's quite going on. There doesn't seem to be any leadership, and I think in microcosm, rather than too many changes or elsewhere on the pitch, at the back it's just all at sea.
They just feel open.
Every team knows they're going to get tons of chances. But Cardiff knew that,
but there's no reason for it, because look at the players on the pitch against Cardiff. You've got that back four, and even if that back four is short of quality, I think Godoy isn't good enough personally, and I think Ream showed that he was a bit out of his depth in this game. That's a game in isolation. But if you look at the players they've got that back four you just talked about. They've got a goalkeeper who's highly rated,
who's in the England squad.
There's no reason they can't have with the players they picked at the weekend, Kevin McDonald and Gianmarco Seri in front of the back four.
Yeah.
Seri is so good on the ball. He's so good at,
I mean, how many Premier League teams would love to have Seri? How many sides in the bottom half would love to have Mitrovic, Sessegnon?
Exactly.
Schürrle.
And they've no reason Schürrle and Sessegnon can't put a shift and then cover back for fullbacks, because they're both playing in wide positions. And you've got Mitrovic as your focal point, who is one of the best forwards with his back to goal around, really. I mean, I would say even not in the entire Premier League.
No, but you're right.
But he's up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just don't seem to be at it. They seem to be making silly mistakes, giving the ball away really quickly. And also, not just giving the ball away, but as soon as they give the ball away, they all find themselves in such bad positions that they get caught out. It's got to change, because they're going to be relegated fairly quickly. If they carry on the same way they're going, they're going to concede over 100 goals this season.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about teams needing to adapt, and I understand that that's a mixture of new players coming in and players that have to come up from the Championship and raise their level. But we're 9 games in now. roughly a quarter of the way through the season. Like, it has to have happened by now.
Mm.
Like, because this, you're so far behind at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose
on 5 points.
The thing for Jurcanovic is, you know, Fulham are scoring a few goals, and with Mitrovic, you're always going to have a chance. He needs to focus. It's painfully obvious where he needs to focus, and even he has finally admitted, yeah, we have got big problems at the back. So that's the area of focus. Mm. And if they can focus, because they do have some good operators. Mawson's a good defender.
Yeah.
Chambers knows the league. He might have an injury now. So it's not all doom and gloom for Fulham. It's just a case of, can this manager think to himself, right, we do need to kind of adapt and so on. And if he can't, he's going to find himself out of a job.
Mm.
But you would fancy, I mean, you know, you think about some of the managers, you know, imagine someone like David Moyes was interviewed recently, for example, and said that, you know, well, obviously he's waiting around for a job, but he says it's a bit weird. You don't want your fellow manager to kind of lose a job as well.
They do.
Yeah, I think that's nonsense.
They do.
Of course they do.
They just can't say they do.
Yeah, fair enough. But someone like, you know, a lot of managers would think, bloody hell, I'd love to come into Fulham because look at the players they have. Organise them, you know, your traditional kind of approach, and they'd get a bit of joy. But we shall have to wait and see. Okay, well, we're going to go for a break, after which we're going to talk about West Ham and Tottenham Hotspur. See you in a brief moment.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one, and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
There he is.
Took me 20 minutes to find him.
There he is.
I found him.
And your dynamo.
In Pete's Byzantina iPad setup. I found him lurking in there.
Lovely old job.
Just waiting for his divorce to come through.
All right, then. Let's have some emails with Jimmy C.
All right, then. Dear Ramblers, been meaning to email for some time about a local Herefordshire amateur football legend. That legend is the one and only Maltese Joe. How the referee from Malta found himself in the Herefordian countryside remains a mystery, but everyone you ask who's played football in the county has heard a story regarding his unique refereeing style. The funniest I've heard on the grapevine is that on one Sunday morning, he pulled a hamstring. Instead of passing the referee baton to someone else, he instead reffed the game from the sidelines. Indeed, he continued to ref the game from the sidelines, but from firmly within the confines of his car, as he wasn't
amazing.
Going to sit around and get cold.
Beat the horn instead of the whistle.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make clear whether he was driving around the touchline or not.
Yeah,
presumably,
does he have an open-top
car?
Yeah,
who knows? Get in touch. So I've heard a million stories about the refereeing legend that is Maltese Joe, but I can only remember a couple. So I implore any Herefordian listeners to come forward with more Maltese gold. Regards, Dan Roberts. I completely agree with you there, Dan. That is a great shout. If you are aware of Maltese Joe, please do fill us in.
Next Ramble Meet.
Show at thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, next Ramble Meet. I don't interview him in his car. I don't mind.
Refereed from his car.
Yeah,
love
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant. Right, so we've got another one from James Stevenson. Listening to the recent show, I heard you mention the Gibraltar national team, and being a local resident, I would like to advise you that the locals are called Gibraltarian and not Gibraltese. You've mentioned Cipollina names and thought that they were brothers. Just to let you know that this surname is actually like Smith or Jones on the island.
I did say they weren't brothers last week.
Yeah. To be fair,
I mean, there's not that many people in Gibraltar.
No, that's true.
So if you've got the same surname, it was a fair punt.
Gibraltarian Joe, Gibraltese Joe.
Local team over here is the Bruno Magpies, named after one of the many bars, and they have a massive following of an average 60 fans with the attendance for our games at 70. The other teams are very poor following. Division 2 record gate was 120. Anyway, keep up the good work. It's great that Rock is being mentioned on a positive sporting note. I love this sort of general correspondence with the
island.
That's
what the Nations League's done for a nation
it
like
has,
Gibraltar.
Exactly.
And Usain Bolt could be rocking up there anytime soon.
Indeed.
Gibraltar?
Yeah.
Or Malta?
He could pop across.
Could he?
Yeah, he could pop across. Malta are a better side than Gibraltar, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't know. Two wins on the bounce.
I'll check the coefficient
Malta
later.
Their league would be better attended.
Yeah.
Just population.
I'm not checking the coefficient. I can't know. It's not an accurate waste of using my time.
Don't worry about that.
We actually have further correspondence from The Rock as well.
Oh, right. All right.
From James Riggs, who said, just wanted to say that Pete's rendition of Gibraltar's secondary anthem was hauntingly beautiful. It made me feel that there was hope in the world again. I'm sorry, Pete. I know how loath you'll be to discover that you've motivated someone at all.
Fortunately, he's not here.
He's always about sucking hope from people normally. Absolutely. So it's a change of tack for him.
Yeah.
There we are.
Is that it, Jimbo?
Got one more.
Oh,
got one more. So I'm a Chelsea fan, and I think Kante is a quality player. However, with the new style of football we are playing and Jorginho seemingly taking the role in which Kante was accustomed to, he is losing his effectiveness. Is this something you were seeing? I was at the game Saturday and...
Okay, thanks.
And that's from Gary.
I have had, to be fair, Gary, though, that is terrible email discipline. I have heard a few people say that about Kante. And hopefully we'll see him later in the season and I'll be able to confirm or deny. Absolutely. But Jorginho is obviously key for Chelsea, isn't he?
Very key. Indeed, Marco Silva's key for Everton because he's the manager. They've won three on the bounce. He spoke up of the importance of the strength of their squad after the substitutes all chipped in with the goals and assists, which was quite impressive, really. Lookman, Calvert-Lewin and Tosin came on. Palace are in a funny situation. Miss a penalty and Roy Hodgson said that he was fed up of standing in front of the cameras as a loser or something like that.
Well, the situation is...
We all know that feeling.
Yeah. The situation, we've all done it. The situation is that if you stop Wilfred Zaha, you stop Crystal Palace. Well, I know there'll probably be Crystal Palace fans listening to this going, oh, but it's not like that. You know, don't be so cliche.
But the thing is, Zaha won a penalty.
It is like that.
But he did win a
penalty. He did win a penalty, but that's pretty much all he did. If you look at... And they weren't able to score it. If you look at his numbers from the game, I think one shot and two dribbles. Mm. One of the dribbles was really won the penalty. And did nothing else. So, I mean, if that's the only game plan Palace have, and don't forget, this is a team who I think haven't even scored a single goal at home this season. They're going the way of Fulham if they're not careful.
Well, yeah, but they've shown a bit more spark than Fulham. I mean, they're 15th, 2 points above the relegation zone. They've lost three on the bounce, and they play Arsenal, Chelsea and Spurs next, which is not good. But I would say Fulham... Palace have got more about them than Fulham, haven't they, Jim?
Absolutely, yeah. I think they're just a bit cannier, aren't they? Because, I mean, obviously, ultimately, they lost that game, but they really, really made Everton work for it in a way that Fulham are just simply not making teams do.
My problem with that, though, is that, look, at you say they've got tough games coming up. Well, the reason they've got tough games coming up is because they've had quite a fairly easy run. The teams that Palace have lost against this season, Watford, when Watford were playing very well, they lost at home to Southampton, who were awful, by the way. They lost to Bournemouth. The three games they lost in a row that you're talking about there, Bournemouth, Wolves and Everton. Well, Everton are a good team, decent enough. The others, they're games you've got to win.
Mm-hmm. Or get a point off, at least.
Absolutely. They managed to get a point against Newcastle, didn't they, at home?
They did.
And still didn't score a goal. So, yeah, I just fear for them. I think Everton are doing okay.
What about Everton? They're eighth on 15 points. They haven't played any of the big teams yet, apart from Arsenal. And... they're away to Manchester United next. Do we think they could take points off the best in the league? You know, as I said, they've won three in a row. They look like they're coming around to something. I mean, you know, we've seen Wolves, you know, take a point off Manchester City and Man United. Do you think Everton are in that place, Jim, where they've got players that can hurt teams, or do you think they're just still a little bit disjointed at the moment?
I think that exactly that, yeah. I think they are. They look closer to gelling than they have done under Silva. Yeah, I think that was a good performance. Obviously, he used his bench very well. I was impressed with Bernard as well. And that's an excellent signing on free, that. That really went under the radar as one of the, as a really good bit of business in the summer.
Andre Gomes come in as well for his debut, didn't he?
Good.
Looked decent, yeah.
So I think once, I mean, Adamola Lookman coming back as well, like, it was a bit of a mess, the squad, wasn't it? But he's done a very good job of making it appear a lot more streamlined than it has done in the past few seasons. So I think, from what I've seen of Everton so far, I don't think they're going to the trouble as Spurs or a Liverpool or a City yet. But it's early days, isn't it? And Silva is very, very good at making teams tough to beat, and they're getting that way. So jury's out. I don't think so yet, but I think it's certainly within their aim.
My take on their situation is just that, if you look at their finishes over the last three or four seasons, I think they've had a seventh, might have had two sevenths actually, an eighth and an 11th, something like that.
And that's probably where they are.
Right. So if you think, well, what's Marcus Silva tasked with? Well, last season, Big Sam came in on a firefighting job, Fireman Sam, did all right. They finished, whatever they finished, eighth or something like that. The natural step is obviously to break into that top six, obviously. But you've got Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, Man United. That's six teams. Those six teams, despite Man United's issues, they came second last season. Those six teams in the position they're in are better than Everton.
Yeah.
So if they finish seventh, I think that's a pretty decent return. Mm-hmm. But then with someone like Silva, who's so highly rated, you can't move for players and ex-players saying about how he's the best coach that they've ever worked with and all the rest of it. In which case, then, he may need to upset that top six and get himself in there with his team. But as Jim said, it's early days. I think they look all right, though.
Yeah, if they finish sixth, that'd be a hell of an achievement.
Massive.
What about Pickford's penalty save?
Oh, it was magnificent, wasn't it? I'm glad you mentioned that, because they didn't miss a penalty, did they, Palace? Sure. Pickford saved one.
Milivojevic is pretty handy from the spot. I know.
Hard down the middle as well. Like, it's gutsy from a goalkeeper to...
Yeah.
He's probably watched the penalties in the end.
Well, no, he said after the game that he hadn't studied those penalties. Right. He said that he normally would, like, look over at the bench and he was...
Too busy raving.
He's too busy raving, yeah, but,
get
you know...
Get the save on.
Leave the...
what he does, Pickford, know very well is when the beat drops. So that's a transferable skill back to where the penalty's going.
That's true. That's very, very true. Spurs won away at West Ham, of course. Their fourth league win in a row. They're still only 2 points off Liverpool and Man City. They're going about their business, Tottenham. It wasn't blistering stuff, but they were very effective. Clean sheet against West Ham, who weren't bad at all. And Spurs, you know, you look at the whole situation, and I know bang on about the whole stadium business and so on, but it is relevant.
Yeah.
It is relevant. You know, certain teams... Well, in fact, every other team in the division know where their home stadium is. They know what they're doing. It can't be disorientating.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the word I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I can fill in for you with that one. Don't worry, mate.
Appreciate that, bruv.
I think they rode their luck in the second half particularly. Lloris made some fantastic saves.
He was the best player on the pitch.
I thought Lamela was fantastic again.
Also, Sissoko deserves some praise.
He appears to be, because obviously he assisted the goal, didn't he? He appears to be sort of understanding what he needs to do under Pochettino now. And I think it's taken him a long while, but Lamela was great. When I saw Spurs against Barcelona a few weeks ago, they were outclassed, of course, but Lamela was by far their best player. I mean, his goal return already this season is great, as we've heard.
Has he not already matched his previous best? Is
I believe
that right?
So, yeah. He's got five in the league now. With the difficulty he's had with injuries, he was out for 13 months with a hip injury, and it's been a bit stop-start his Spurs career after he came in for a lot of money. So he could be in line for having a big season. I think he's been their best player so far this season purely because a lot of other players have been in and out of injury. I expect them to fall a bit short, Spurs, because I don't think they've got enough unless they strengthen in January. And even if they strengthen in January, it could take a while for players to settle in. But I think they've done really well so far.
Well, that's you know what I'm saying. With all this stadium nonsense going on with them, they haven't got a proper home and they haven't signed anybody and so on and so forth. You know, Kane is still looking a little bit tired, although he's doing okay. You know, taking all of it into account, they're still up there after 9 games. It's impressive, Jim.
It's annoying. But yeah, you can't deny it's impressive. Yeah, absolutely. And as we were saying before, they've gone under the radar a little bit. But I think, again, it's just you expect Spurs to win now. So it's not,
that's true.
It's not sort of the headline news it might be if they get a big eye-catching result. I think that they're certainly going to be up there. It's just, I think the most impressive thing about it is obviously so much was made about how they didn't sign anyone in the summer. But the players we're talking about now to dish out praise to are Lamela and Sissoko. So he knows he's got a really tight, good squad in there with basically no fat on it, especially if he's getting stuff out of players like Sissoko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And you just wonder if they'll get a little bit fatigued after time. But they're showing no sign of it.
They really dug in this game. I mean, Lloris, as we said, made some good saves. But from what I saw, West Ham adjusted at halftime. Mm-hmm, Pellegrini, who's a decent manager, he adjusted, and they were able to take the game to Spurs.
There were positives at West Ham.
There were a lot of positives.
You know, they'll be disappointed they didn't get a result, but they won't be disappointed.
Spurs had to really dig in. And I thought the best player on the pitch for me was Issa Diop, who looks a fantastic centre-back for West Ham. He's been brilliant from what I've seen all season. And he's obviously got Declan Rice just in front of him now. Declan Rice, who was probably their standout centre-back last season. So West Ham were doing okay as well. I was just impressed by the way they adjusted. But Lloris's best save was that one in injury time at Arnautovic's feet. The clawing out of the top corner from the header looked really good.
Yeah.
But the bravery to do that in the last minute against Arnautovic to basically save Spurs the game, I thought was fantastic. Mm. Like I said, I think Spurs will, personally, they'll probably finish in the top four. I think they'll fall away because I just don't think they've got enough players. Mm. But other than that, I think they've been great.
Yeah, fair enough. Shall we go down to the Championship, gentlemen?
Let's relegate ourselves, yeah.
not for the first time, Jim.
Middlesbrough got a handy win against Sheffield Wednesday.
That was a strange old game.
It was. There was a magnificent pylon.
It was a bundle, wasn't
it? It was kind of, you know, in rugby, if like the scrum collapses and it's just a big old mess, right at the end of the game there, in that one, in the goal mouth.
Was the goalkeeper fouled? Someone was fouled on the line. I think the goalkeeper put himself on the ball. Someone fell over. And then it was like the rest of the Middlesbrough players just sort of joined in at a really slow.
That's what pullers will do to you.
That's it, though. Like in rugby, when some people get behind the scrum and they try and push and all that, it was like that was going on with some of those defenders. If you like goal mouth scrambles, treat yourself to those highlights. But yeah.
Adam Reach's goal was a beauty as well.
Yeah, he's got that in his locker.
Yes. He's a very versatile player.
Goals.
Used to play for Middlesbrough as well.
Well, Pulis is coming for the Premier League, everybody.
Yeah, yes.
To yourself that, oh, well, we're safe for the moment. Mm. That man is coming for us. All of us.
All of us. What a thought. What a thought.
Middlesbrough. Completely nude. Yeah. Looking you in the eye. Leeds ready in the head.
Well, they are. They're there. And Leeds are sort of slightly to start to fall away a little bit.
They're not knackered already, are they?
Well, I thought to myself, I gave them until December.
There's so many teams in the Championship that it's so hard to pick. I mean, I don't mean
because West Brom drop points.
There's so many good teams. I mean, West Brom and Sheffield United are still up there. I think there's 5 points separating the top eight. And you've got teams who aren't even in that top eight who have done pretty well, like Brentford. I know Villa have dropped off, but they came back with a win. Forest aren't in that top eight, you know. And then you've got teams like Swansea, who to me seemed like they were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
They don't concede many goals. Graham Potter's like an interesting manager. They now find themselves in the bottom half. Stoke, who everyone fancied to bounce straight back up, who've got a great squad, down in 17th. And I know Reading had a poor season last season, but in the years gone by, they've done okay. Millwall, who almost got into the top six last year, are now in the relegation zone.
You can't take your eyes off that league.
Exactly. It's just absolutely packed. And that Friday night fixture, Championship fixture, is starting to become one to watch.
Yeah.
For the first few weeks of the season, it was 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. Now we're starting to see some games. It's great.
Yeah, I know.
So Ipswich are bottom on 9 points.
Yeah.
Newcastle were bottom of the Premier League on 2.
Yeah,
like it just shows you how much more of the Championship.
But they play more games.
Well, I think 5 points separates first in the Championship and sixth in League One. You know, that's how it works. They're so tightly packed in.
You want to talk about League One? I'm here for it. I'll do it. 6 points clear at the top. Inject that into my veins. I'll take it.
Is it the thought of Portsmouth throwing away that 6-point lead? Does that haunt you?
It's at the back of my mind.
Yeah, not the front.
No. Okay. Beat Joey Barton's Fleetwood at the weekend, mate.
Of course they did.
Just if you want to know what kind of game that was, a Fleetwood player was booked for time wasting in the 29th minute. That's how much they fear us, Jim.
Oh, wow.
That's how much they fear those South Coasters.
That's superb. Aston Villa won 1-0 against Swansea. Dean Smith and John Terry start off with a win.
Dean Smith gave John Terry a big, satisfying, manly high five when they won.
Damn right he did.
Went down the bench, high-fived everyone. Nice header from Tammy Abraham against his old club as well.
It was, yeah. It'd be interesting to see. I think he is the first manager in the last 7 Villa managers to win his first match for the club. Dean Smith.
Yeah, what can believe it?
What an awful statistic.
They've been up and down, haven't they?
Yeah, but there we are. All right, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to League Two and the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
There's no doubt what I have done on Saturday after the game is disgusting.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Little blast from last season there. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is going to be out on Thursday. Luke, how did our best better get on?
You mean Jack Drury?
I do. I mean old Jacko.
Satisfyingly Victorian named Jack Drury. Chelsea didn't win.
No.
And Hazard didn't score.
No.
So, Jack, you're out on your ear, mate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You've lost twice there.
Jack the Ripper, Jack the loser.
Yeah.
So, we need a new better for Thursday. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line. And we'll select a new player then.
We will indeed. So, we've talked about the Championship. We've talked inadvertently about League One.
Yeah.
Let's talk about League Two. Macclesfield Town got a huge win against Carlisle. Very important win for the Silkmen.
Great nickname.
It's a superb.
Is it
nickname.
Up there for you, top five? The Silkmen.
I quite
great
like
nickname.
I like Peterborough, the posh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
I enjoy the chair boys.
Who's that?
Is it Wickham?
Wickham's the chair boys, yeah, yeah.
Although I was going abroad, Juventus, the old lady's quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Lecce are the flying donkeys, aren't they? That's a
was it Lecce?
One. I believe so.
It's Kieva.
Oh, I think it right? might be Kieva.
We have to ask James Horncastle.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing a thing last week and I just putting together names of fanzines.
Oh, yeah.
Football club fanzines. Mm. Have you any idea how crazy some of the names are?
Oh, I can imagine.
Sheffield Wednesday have got a fanzine called War of the Monster Trucks. Hearts of
superb.
So these are fanzines past or present.
Yeah, yeah.
Hearts, always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. Sadly.
St Mirren, a St Mirren fanzine called There's a Store Where the Creatures Meet.
That's nice.
It's good, isn't it? There's loads of good ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't overlook the quality of names of fanzines.
And St Mirren's nickname is The Buddies.
Great name.
Which is quite nice.
What's Motherwell's nice. Nickname, Marcus?
The Well.
The Well. There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Silkmen. Back to the Silkmen.
The Silkmen, yeah. If they hadn't have won this game, they would have set a new and unwanted record of 37 matches without a win in the Football League.
It's a platform to build on, isn't it?
I mean, they managed to halt it, of course, and their winless run of 36 matches without a win in the Football League is shared with Derby.
Yeah.
So they're in,
but a bit more
respectable
context.
Company.
But Derby was because they were just awful.
Yeah.
But Macclesfield dropped out the Football League.
They did.
And then won.
Because they hadn't won a game for ages.
Yeah. And then it took them 7 years to get back up there and to win one. Right?
Yeah, so it was slightly skewed. So it would have been unfair if they'd have had the record outright, in a sense. But they're still bottom, aren't they, of League Two?
I did like this from the Times. Since between Macclesfield's last two Football League wins, 2,486 days, 55 new players capped by England. Cool. That's Gareth Southgate for you.
Yeah.
162 number ones in the charts, 1,820 episodes of Coronation Street, and four foreign secretaries.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
Just four?
Yeah.
All right.
As many as four.
Give it a few more months and we might have more.
Good luck to the Silkmen. Maybe they can build on this for next time.
Absolutely. Around. Damn right, yeah. Oh, and we should say, you know, that they were 1-0 down, 79th and 83rd minute. They turned it round. You see?
That's satisfying.
That is satisfying. Oh,
there are plenty of sore heads in Macclesfield on Sunday morning, I expect.
Absolutely. Mm. All right, then. Let's go to the WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody.
Yes, open it up, Marcus.
Suck it open.
There's something quite obvious that's at the top of the pile here. Harry Redknapp is going into I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Love that.
I mean,
I'm all about that.
Yeah. How's he
I'm going to watch.
How's he going to manage with those knees?
Yeah, it's going to be tough on him.
A few good tweets to us about that. Obviously, we're the first port of call when that sort of news gets talked about. And interestingly, I think Redknapp might have been on TalkSport this morning on the breakfast show, and he didn't deny it. He did not deny it.
Oh, right. It's not been confirmed.
Oh, it's not a confirmed thing.
It came out on Twitter yesterday, but I don't know if the production company themselves have officially announced it.
Right.
But Redknapp was on the breakfast show on TalkSport this morning, and he didn't deny it. So
he's I'm a Celebrity at Sandbanks in Dorset. This year.
Well,
yeah, maybe that's it. I'll tell you what, if we can do it in my garden, then I'll do it.
Also, we got a few tweets of people asking if his luxury item was going to be Nico Crankar.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Crankar will just do the shift for him.
It will make it must watch. I mean, to be fair,
I mean, who's going to.
I don't want to be unfair, but it's not going to be the first trial he goes on. And 71 year old and apparently he's got bad knees, so I do fear for him. It's going to make it must watch. He's going to make it must
presumably
watch.
Presumably old Bondi's going to be in there with him.
Oh yeah, do all the trial. Do the trial for him.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think if you time it well on I'm a Celebrity, I have seen it, I don't watch it regularly, but I think if you time it well, you only have to be in there for like about 4 or 5 days, I think.
Still though.
Yeah.
So how do you mean?
Well, because you get voted out.
Oh, right.
So if you get voted out first, I don't believe you're in there for that long a time. It's only the people who last to the end that are there for weeks.
I think Redknapp will be a popular figure, though, right? Because he does have the common touch. He's quite funny, isn't he? He's like, I don't think he's not someone that people naturally dislike.
But what I would say, Jim, though, is if you don't want to be in there that long, have a word with the editor. Stitch me up all you want. I want out of it. Yeah. I want out of it. Stitch me up as much as you want.
Yeah.
I want out before the witch of the grubs come along.
Well, there's no value on the. I'm trying to think.
If they've got anything about them at all, this production company, when the contestants have to go into their little, what's it called, the bush telephone thing, where they talk to the camera, it's like a little hut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Redknapp, it should be a car door.
Oh,
he should have to run down the window and look through the car door to say it.
Yeah. All agreed.
What about
the other guests presumably are just who Redknapp's going to sign.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
I've got a little thing here that I want to bring in. I'm going to try and play it down.
Oh, yes.
The thing now, and it's a few people pointed out that
Paul Ince.
Paul Ince might have sworn live on BT Sport.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it, and I want you guys to think, or just to judge whether he did or not, because I can't really properly make it out. You ready?
He always held the ball up and laid it off. So
Steve McManaman speaks, and then it's Paul Ince in the background.
There we go. You ready?
Emphatically agreeing with his point by the sound of it.
But normally, when anything went up to him, he always held the ball up and laid it off.
What else can that be?
Yeah,
good old Incy.
Oh, yeah, because there's no other word. He's not saying luck. Yeah,
no. He's saying the word fuck.
Yeah, he has to. Yeah,
he is
saying the word fuck.
At the end of the end of the day, Ofcom.
Yeah.
And can go home and say they've fined Paul Ince. So.
Although it would be BT who pick up the tab for that one.
So.
Sadly. There we are.
Yeah.
Jim, have you had a good time on the show today?
I have.
Oh, shame.
Ask me.
Luke, have you had a good time on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, thought you had. Good time without Pete?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, Peter. He's obviously in Japan.
Yeah.
So there
we'll
we are.
We'll see him in a wee while when he decides to come back. Yeah. He did send a picture today, today.
What, he sent a link to an Instagram?
Didn't he? No, he sent...
Asleep in Shibuya.
He sent a picture of a really expensive melon for sale.
Oh,
like a boob.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
That's
what he's up to.
Like 18 quid each.
That's the stuff on the WhatsApp group we tend not to share with you all.
There you go. It's in the appropriate section.
Indeed. All right, well, let's leave that section right now before we... say any more about Pete's travels, and we'll end the show there. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your attendance. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Luke Ball.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Campbell.
Fuck yeah, thank you.
What was that?
Oh, a bit of Scat Man for you.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.